Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cashback for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a JD Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grüns is designed to simplify that. Grüns is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention. Vitamins at 100% daily value and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grüns ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grüns is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors, and it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
Every time you got an unsolved murder, you got somebody walking around in your community that's killed somebody.
David was just a very, very nice guy. They were just the normal, all-American young couple living next door. Well, my husband and I were asleep in bed and just startled by a series of loud thumps on the other side of the wall. It's just a sound that he'd never heard before. I said, I am going to put my ear to the wall. If I hear anything else, I am calling the police. I heard nothing, absolutely nothing. For the next hour or more, I was just still awake and restless. The next thing that happened was I heard a loud pounding on the door. And it was Melinda.
When David Harmon got murdered, I was on call that weekend.
According to police, sometime during Sunday night there on Sheridan Drive in Olathe.
My name is Paul Morrison. In 1982, I was an assistant district attorney here in Johnson County.
The intruders went into Harmon's house and awoke Mrs. Harmon.
That was the first murder scene that I'd ever seen. One of the most brutal murder scenes that I've ever seen in my career. Very, very bloody. He was disfigured so badly that the initial officers thought he'd been shot in the face with a shotgun. It traumatized a lot of people because what came out publicly was that there was this horrible home invasion. These people beat this poor guy to death in bed. It was one of those cases where you're going, you know, we don't believe this. There's more to this story than meets the eye.
This was a place where people felt that they could get away from the city, raise a family, and live a peaceful life. I think when this happened, it hit home. The people involved in this murder are members of the Nazarene Church. and go to the college there. So this would kind of rock their community a lot. I'm Bill Wall. I'm a detective with the Olathe, Kansas Police Department. There are a lot of murders, but this is intriguing. It's got a bit of a sex appeal to it. We got religion, we got a lover's triangle, we got money, and we felt that it was a case that could be solved. It was 19 years old when we opened it up. When I'm reading through this case file, I think that we got a shot. I mean, eventually you gotta go knock on the door. And that was the turning point, obviously, of this case.
A knock on the door.
Today, Olathe, Kansas is a major crossroads, a fast-growing suburb of Kansas City, home to a large conservative Christian community. But back in 1982, it was just a dot on the map.
In 1982, this was a community where you didn't have to lock your doors, basically. I know that's a cliche, but there was not a lot of danger.
Andy Hoffman was a reporter for Olathe's Daily News.
The people that lived here were God-fearing. They believed in the Bible, and when this horrendous murder happened, it changed the landscape of the community.
There weren't a lot of homicides in Olathe, so the unsolved murder of David Harmon was a nightmare that stayed with them for more than two decades.
First time I heard about that case was maybe in the early 90s.
Bill Wall was a young patrol officer at the time.
It was always kind of a case that had never been solved, and it was kind of a legend throughout the department.
It might have stayed cold, if not for a simple request in 2001 and some new technology.
The crime lab came down and they had some time and they wanted to use their DNA expertise. You got any old cold cases? And we had one.
I'll grab this.
The Harmon case moved out of the evidence vault and into the hands of detectives Bill Wall and Steve James.
For us, this is uncharted territory. I mean, we really didn't have a lot of experience in opening up cold cases.
They went through all the evidence to learn what happened back in 1982.
And once we get started into it, it's so intriguing, you don't want to put it down.
There were accounts from police officers, including J.W. Larrick, then 27, one of the first responders.
It was a very, very brutal crime scene.
He found David Harmon's body upstairs in the master bedroom.
It is the most gruesome crime scene that I've seen in 28 years of being a police officer. He was just massacred.
Harmon had been beaten repeatedly with a blunt object.
Blood splattered everywhere. It is on pillows, sheets. It is on a comforter, a carpet, the nightstand next to him. It's everywhere. I mean, I think this is a classic case of an overkill.
David's wife, Melinda, was the only witness. She told police two men, possibly black, had broken into their duplex.
She's awakened by these sounds of someone beating her husband. And then all of a sudden, she's pulled out of bed and taken downstairs. She hears one intruder say the next, "I think you hit him too hard, you may have killed him."
She said they demanded the keys to the bank where David worked.
And that's when she's knocked unconscious.
Melinda says when she came to, she ran next door for help. Her neighbor called the police. Then Melinda asked her to call friend Mark Mangelsdorf.
It was a horrific incident. A very close friend of mine was murdered, and I was close friends both with he and his wife.
They kind of took him in. They'd have him over for dinner frequently. He'd be over there hanging out.
Their friendship began at Mid-America Nazarene College, where Melinda was a secretary.
Melinda was quite professional. She was not much older than our students.
Don Stelting was dean of students at the college and Melinda's boss.
Part of the responsibility of my office staff was to make a warm front door for the students. She was a friendly person, and she worked hard at that.
One of the students she befriended was Mark Mengelsdorf, the student body president.
He was an impressive young man, good student.
Melinda introduced Mark to her husband, David.
I mean, David was in many ways like a big brother to me. You know, he took me under his wing.
They shared a passion for sports, business, and their church. As word of David's murder spread, it stunned Olathe's Nazarene community.
I remember when the phone call came, how unreal it was.
Pam and Don Stelting were among the first to hear the news.
I don't think we could even talk. It was such devastating news.
It shook us all very deeply because here was someone that we thought was just a perfect example of what church and the college stood for, and he was gone, his life snuffed out.
His friends at the Patron State Bank were shocked.
Why? Why would this happen? Why David?
Joy Hempe and Hazel Hendricks.
We didn't have murders in Olathe. And then to have it happen to a person that you worked with every day, it was very scary.
Well, at first everybody bought the story.
Paul Morrison is now the district attorney, but back in 1982...
I'm just a guppy back then, you know.
He was still learning the job.
And I think everybody thought, gosh, it's just a horrible home invasion thing here, and we gotta find these guys because they're obviously extremely dangerous.
Police immediately staked out the bank in case anyone tried breaking in.
Of course, it never happened.
Stealing David's keys baffled Joy Hempe.
If they got inside the bank with the keys, all they would get would be pencils, erasers, and paper clips. You couldn't get in the vault. It was on a timer.
So those are actually his, then?
It didn't take long for investigators to realize the pieces of the puzzle just weren't adding up.
No forced entry to the house. There was nothing else taken. Plus, the person that's able to get them access to the bank, they kill immediately. I don't think anybody was comfortable saying that first day, you know, we don't believe it, but there are eyebrows beginning to be raised about this story.
As doubts grew about Melinda Harmon's story, the focus of the investigation shifted.
I'm sure some of those detectives back then were thinking, hey, this is not right. There's something more here.
Did they believe that Melinda Harmon was involved in her husband's murder?
And they suspected she had help.
Some questions came up, and in particular, a question about this person, Mark Mengelsdorf.
Instacart is designed to make life easier and give you time to focus on what matters most. It connects you to thousands of stores across the United States, allowing you to shop from your favorite spots with just a few taps. Whether you're prepping for a backyard barbecue, planning a summer beach day, or handling a last-minute hosting emergency, delivery through Instacart lightens your load. You can order online or via the easy-to-use app to have quality items carefully selected and ready for pickup or at your door in as fast as 30 minutes. One of my favorite things about summer is all the fresh produce. My family can't get enough watermelon, sweet corn, and heirloom tomatoes this time of year. But our favorite foods are only at their best for a short window. With Instacart, you can get peak season flavor delivered fast. And shoppers care about getting your order right, so you can be confident that you're getting the best quality items every time. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door, so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
Can you believe our country is turning 250? When it comes to furniture worthy of America's 250th birthday, Bob's has the styles all Americans want at the everyday low prices we deserve. Plus, everything is backed by glowing five-star reviews from real customers. For ultimate relaxation, check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It's a genuine leather dream with built-in charging and Bob-O-Pedic seats made for chilling in the AC all day. You can even grab the matching love seat and recliner. If you're hosting summer parties, the Homeworks dining set is a must-have, offering comfy Bob-O-Pedic seating and hidden storage in both the table and bench. For maximum flexibility, the modular Bob sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It features family-proof construction, wireless charging, and Bob-O-Pedic memory foam for hundreds less than competitors. It's just $250 per piece. It's a total steal. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
They were focusing on Mark. He was being suspected for such a horrible thing. I just knew it wasn't possible.
Even after all these years, the memories are still very painful for Pam Stelting.
I thought I could talk about it without crying, but...
Pam and her husband Don still can't believe Olathe police suspected Mark Mengelsdorf was involved in the murder of David Harmon.
It seemed to be an indication of very bad judgment on the part of the police. In our minds, there was someone out there who really had done this horrid murder, and why aren't they looking for them instead?
But police and prosecutors say there were no signs of intruders. Instead, all the evidence seemed to point to those closest to David, his wife Melinda and his best friend Mark. And what's more, investigators believed they knew the motive.
No one was talking on the record. Everyone in the community was talking about it off the record.
Andy Hoffman has covered the case for more than two decades.
And what were they saying?
It's the Nazarene divorce.
I believe she did this because she couldn't get a divorce. In her mind, it was much better to be the widow Harmon than the divorcee Harmon.
District Attorney Paul Morrison believed Melinda Harmon was unhappy in her marriage and caught up in a secret affair with Mark Mengelsdorf.
It was definitely a romance.
But because of their strong religious beliefs, Morrison doubts it was sexual.
The promise of sex, the lure of sex, unfulfilled, it can be stronger than the actual thing.
The conservative Christian world they lived in had strict rules of behavior.
You didn't go to the movies, we didn't dance.
Mark Wood was a student at Mid-America Nazarene College at the time.
The old joke we used to have back then was that you don't smoke and you don't chew and you don't date the girls who do.
And when you marry for life.
Back in 1982, in the Nazarene Church, divorce was not the option that it is today. It would have not been a good thing. It would have caused a certain amount of shame and scandal.
To believe that, one would have to not know the Nazarene Church at that time. To think that someone would plan murder to avoid divorce is ludicrous.
Mark Mengelsdorf and Melinda Harmon always denied they had a romantic relationship. And at first, they cooperated with investigators. But that soon stopped, and leads dried up.
There's a lot of people that remember this case that were members of the church, members of our community. They all thought that the suspects had been identified. Why aren't we moving forward?
Investigators had a bloody murder scene, but no footprints or fingerprints, and no murder weapon. Not enough evidence to prosecute.
The question of, is that going to be provable beyond a reasonable doubt, probably wasn't quite there.
With no charges against them, Mengelsdorf and Harmon both left Olathe. Melinda Harmon headed back home to Ohio with her parents. Mark Mengelsdorf went off to Harvard Business School and became a successful corporate executive.
definitely went on with my life, and it's not something that, you know, I really dwelled on or focused on a lot.
He and his second wife, Christina, live in a million-dollar home in Pelham, just outside New York City. He's the father of four, with one more on the way. The Mangelsdorfs sat down with 48 Hours for their only television interview.
When's the first time that you heard about this?
It was fairly shortly after we started dating, honestly. My first reaction was, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. There's no way that he could have done this. And you know, he didn't need to give me any of the facts of the case or any assurances that he hadn't to know that, you know, no. I mean, it's not in his personality.
The fact that the police considered me as a suspect in the course of their investigation was hurtful. And, you know, certainly leaves an impression on you.
Did you kill David Harmon?
I did not kill David Harmon.
And Mangelsdorf doesn't believe Melinda Harmon was involved either.
Melinda was my good friend, and I choose to believe that that was not in her character.
Back in Olathe, the unsolved Harmon murder had been shelved for almost two decades, but never forgotten.
They didn't have it on the front burner, but they did not forget about it. The community wouldn't let them forget about it.
When you read it, it's kind of a no-brainer. The suspects are identified. These people did it, and now we got to prove it.
As Detectives Bill Wall and Steve James began going over the 19-year-old evidence, they found it odd that blood spatter was all across Melinda Harmon's pillowcase.
If she's laying in bed, her head should be here, right?
Right.
There should be a void.
There should be a spot.
Where there's no blood?
Where there's no blood.
With so much blood on the pillowcase, Wall and James were surprised how little blood was on Melinda and her nightgown.
You would think you would see at least some blood up in this general area up here toward the top of the nightgown.
The only blood was at the bottom of the gown.
She's standing away from the bed, and it's cast off to her.
They also had doubts about Melinda's story of being knocked out by intruders.
If she truly was knocked unconscious for that period of time, she wouldn't have remembered anything.
Evidence was mounting, but they still didn't have a case. They needed to re-interview the suspects. In December 2001, Detectives Wall and James showed up at Melinda's home in Ohio.
This is our shot. We wanted to catch her cold.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous.
What happens?
Knock on the door. She answers.
And what happened next would forever change the course of this case.
Had she not let you in, where would we be today?
We would not be sitting here today.
When Melinda Harmon left Olathe, Kansas in 1982, she never looked back. She moved to this Columbus, Ohio suburb and started over.
This is an upscale neighborhood, a very nice house. She's living a pretty good life here.
Known here as Melinda Rash, she's a soccer mom with two children, married to a successful dentist, active in her community and her church.
Everyone thought that Melinda Rash was a perfect person, the great neighbor, just doing everything right.
So when Detectives Bill Wall and Steve James showed up out of the blue at the Rash home in 2001, they didn't expect her to talk to them.
Steve and I both thought that she's probably going to say, hey, I left that back in Olathe, you're going to have to talk to my attorneys, something along those lines, but she didn't.
Instead, she invited them in.
It's beyond what I expected to happen.
As they sat in her kitchen, Rash told the detectives about the night her first husband, David Harmon, was murdered.
She says that she was awakened by these horrifying sounds of someone striking her husband. She sees a shadowy figure, and she runs to the bathroom.
This isn't the same story as two decades ago.
This is definitely not the same story. What happened to the two black guys that broke in demanding bank keys? What happened to, I think you hit him too hard, you may have killed him? None of that.
She didn't remember the lie she told.
For 19 years, detectives had waited for this kind of break.
I accused her. I said, I know you killed him. Either you killed him or he did.
What did she say?
Well, I assure you, it wasn't me.
And Melinda didn't stop there. Instead of ending the conversation or calling her lawyer, she kept talking.
She wanted to please us. She didn't want her neighbors to be talked to about this. I don't think she ever shared with anybody about what happened in 1982.
She just wanted you to go away.
Absolutely. And she thought she could manipulate us to get us to go away.
But they didn't go away. In fact, after 3 hours, Rash agreed to continue talking at the sheriff's department. Only now the interrogation would be videotaped. Because he'd established a rapport with Rash, Detective Bill Wall conducted the interview.
Been talking for 3 or 4 hours out at your house.
I'm sorry, I should have offered you a drink at the house.
Sorry.
I'm usually a very good hostess.
Investigators had always believed Melinda Harmon Rash and Mark Mengelsdorf conspired to murder David Harmon so they could be together. Now Bill Wall needed details of their romance to prove motive.
She said they were friends at first, were friends. Well, later on, as their relationship blossomed, she said that there became an emotional bond between the two of them.
You shared innermost, deepest feelings.
In a way that is inappropriate.
Right. You should have been sharing with your husband, probably.
Right.
She said that her feelings were inappropriate and that her husband, David, would definitely not approve.
But according to Rash, Mengelsdorf wanted more.
Did he ever come out and say, I love you, I want to have sex with you?
I would say so.
He said that?
I would say so.
She told me that she got the impression he wanted her to get a divorce.
There were innuendos made. Okay.
Innuendos made about what?
About had life been different.
He didn't like the fact that you were married.
Right.
With their romance established, Bill Wall now needed Rash to connect Mark Mengelsdorf to the murder.
If you did not kill him, mm-hmm. you know who did.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're trying to lead me to believe.
Well, I know in my heart.
You know in your heart what?
Yes.
That Mark did it?
Mm-hmm. In my heart, I know that.
She told Wall she didn't see Mengelsdorf that night, but sensed his presence.
Where was the presence coming from?
The stairs.
Why is she saying she felt Mengelsdorf's presence rather than I saw him bludgeon my husband?
I just don't think she wanted to go there yet. She knew if she said that, then that would implicate her further.
So she's holding back?
Absolutely.
Rash wanted to know the consequences before giving up any more information.
I don't know where I stand.
Okay. So there is a little more here.
There's a little more.
But we just want to get a little deal here before we go forward.
Yeah, because I don't.
You need to know what consequences.
Yeah, I need to know where I stand.
Bill Wall called District Attorney Paul Morrison in Olathe.
I, like everybody else, was shocked that she talked to him.
And told him Rash wanted to discuss a deal.
I remember telling Wall that I wasn't going to buy a pig and a poke because we didn't know exactly what she had to offer. That in my opinion, she had already made some serious admissions, so let's not make any deals today that we might regret later.
After almost two decades of frustration, Morrison finally had a toehold, but it would take 2 more years of poring over every piece of evidence to make a case.
You've got no statute of limitations on a murder case, so we had the luxury of making sure that we got our ducks all lined up as straight as we could before we went into battle.
In 2003, with those ducks lined up, Melinda Harmon Rash was finally arrested and charged with her husband's murder. The news stunned Mark Mengelsdorf.
It did surprise me. It caught me off guard. I thought that this thing had potentially run its course, and it, of course, had not.
There are people you are told to trust, lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death, the Cowboy, is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death, the Cowboy, wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
Know in your heart what? Yeah. That Mark did it?
Mm-hmm. Melinda Rash's news story of the murder was the end for Mark and Christina Mangelsdorf's quiet life in Pelham, New York.
It was just about exactly 10 o'clock, and the phone rang, and Mark answered it. The person just said, you know, this is Detective Hines from the Pelham Police Department. Could you come downstairs, please? And we knew what they were there for.
Living with a cloud of suspicion for 23 years, Mark Mangelsdorf knew this day could come, but for Christina, there was no preparing for what happened next.
The minute Mark opened the front door, I mean, there they were, and the handcuffs were on him like that, and they walk him off within about 30 seconds, and I was busy looking at the detective saying, wait, you know, can I kiss him goodbye? What do I do now?
Mark Mangelsdorf was arrested and escorted back to Kansas to face murder charges for the 1982 slaying of his close friend, David Harmon. He was charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder, the same charges Rash is facing. Just 1 week after Mangelsdorf's arrest, Melinda Rash goes on trial for the murder of her first husband. By her side, showing support, is her current husband. In spite of the dramatic interrogation tapes, prosecutor Paul Morrison knows getting a conviction after 23 years will be tough.
About 2:33 a.m., David Harmon was beaten to death in his bed.
He begins by setting out to establish a motive for the crime.
Her world revolved around the church. Divorce was an unthinkable option. You've got that sort of perverted thinking about that not being an option, and it manifests itself in what most of us would consider to be the unthinkable, and that is that you kill him.
Morrison sets out to prove a case largely built on circumstantial evidence, evidence of an alleged love affair.
They were just standing very close together.
And lies. First, Rash said she was in bed while her husband was being beaten to death, but prosecutors show her pillow covered in blood. Then there is her claim she was knocked out for more than an hour.
That didn't fit at all, and in fact, she didn't have any real injuries other than a tiny bruise on her cheek.
Prosecutors begin unraveling Rash's story of what happened that night, weaving a different story.
There was about 20 cards and letters from Melinda Harmon to Mark Mangelsdorf.
Prosecutors produce a stack of cards and letters found in Mark Mangelsdorf's apartment, suggesting signs of an intimate relationship.
These were just signed either Melinda or Love Melinda or I Love You Melinda, that type of thing.
As the evidence mounts, it is the 2001 police videotape that cements the case against her and Mark Mangelsdorf.
You had to know that was him.
In my heart, I knew it was him.
As prosecutors slowly built their case, Rasch's defense team knew they had to confront the allegations of an affair and murder head on. To do that, they turned to the person at the center of this case to testify. But it was not their client, Melinda Rasch, they called to the stand. It was Mark Mengelsdorf.
I planned to tell the jury the truth, just exactly as I told the police 23 years ago.
And for the first time in 23 years, Mark Mengelsdorf and Melinda Rasch are together again. This time, the only thing they are sharing is the charge of murder.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Please have a seat.
Thank you.
Mengelsdorf's testimony is crucial for Rasch's defense, and ultimately his own. The defense wants to show Mengelsdorf is not capable of murder, and that he and Rasch couldn't have conspired to commit such a crime.
I felt that it would be an opportunity for me to tell the truth, to potentially assist in uncovering the truth for the jury, giving them full information, full facts.
Mark Mengelsdorf's defense attorney, Mickey Sherman, says it's a gamble worth taking, even though anything Mengelsdorf says could be used against him.
Why were you so willing to have him testify?
Truth is the truth. I felt that I'd rather put him on the witness stand now and let the jury, let the world know what his recollection was, rather than have this cloud over his head.
Questioned by Rasch's defense attorney, Tom Bath, Mengelsdorf answers questions point blank about accusations of an affair.
Mr. Mengelsdorf, were you having an affair with Melinda?
No, I absolutely was not.
Were you romantically involved with her?
No.
Were you physical in any kind of sexual way with her?
No, I was not physical with her. Melinda Harmon was my friend.
And how about David Harmon?
David Harmon was also my friend.
Did you kill David Harmon?
I did not kill David Harmon.
Mengelsdorf looks calm on the stand, even under tough cross-examination from prosecutor Paul Morrison.
You were the fact that she said it was an emotionally inappropriate, intimate relationship.
I'm aware that she made that statement.
Were you aware of the fact that she said that you told her, I want to have sex with you?
I read that statement as well.
Were you aware of the fact that she said she thinks you killed David Harmon?
I don't know the specific words, but I did view the tape, and so I'm...
You're aware of that, yes?
Yes.
How did he do on the witness stand?
You know, I thought he did fantastic. We all thought he did fantastic.
For defense attorney Mickey Sherman, this was a dress rehearsal. He got to see how his client will do as a witness. But true crime writer Andy Hoffman believes Mengelsdorf taking the stand may not have been the best defense, for Rasch or for himself.
There was no feelings of sorrow for David. You know, no, it was all just rehearsed, and I'm in here and I'm going to walk my way out of here and I'm not showing any emotion. I think you really saw Mark Mengelsdorf as Mark Mengelsdorf, totally controlled, totally sure of himself, but something's wrong there.
Melinda Rasch never took the stand or spoke publicly about the murder of her husband. After nearly 3 weeks of testimony and over 60 witnesses, Rasch's trial comes to a close. After 2 days, the jury reaches a verdict.
The court will read the verdict of the jury. On count one, we, the jury, find the defendant guilty of murder. On count two, we, the jury, find the defendant guilty of conspiracy to commit murder.
Did Mark help or hurt her on the stand?
He hurt her. If they believed him, they wouldn't have convicted her.
Out on bail, Mark Mengelsdorf was at home with his wife, Christina, when they learned of Rasch's fate.
When you saw the word guilty, what was your reaction?
I think surprised and disappointed.
You thought she was innocent?
Yes.
Christina believes the outcome will be different for her husband.
It wasn't like we looked at this and said, you know, oh my gosh, you know, the same thing is going to happen to Mark. I mean, there's still
a confidence that it's a very different case and that Mark will ultimately be found innocent.
As Mangelsdorf now starts to prepare for his own trial, Melinda Rash, facing life in prison, sits in a Kansas County jail awaiting sentencing. But as he will learn, she's not sitting quietly. Here in Olathe, Kansas, Melinda Rash is behind bars, facing life in prison for the murder of her husband, David Harmon. Back in Pelham, New York, Mark Mangelsdorf begins to prepare for his trial, confident a jury will find him innocent.
When they see the evidence as it's presented, we think they'll come to the same conclusion that we know is the reality, that I'm innocent.
I believe in Mark, and I believe that a jury will believe in Mark, both in his innocence and his character.
Defense attorney Mickey Sherman is on the offensive.
What's your best evidence?
Mark Mangelsdorf getting on the stand and telling the story. Boy. And the lack of such a story on the part of the state.
While Sherman makes his plans for Mangelsdorf's defense, he's unaware Melinda Rash is making plans of her own.
You begin to think about your children, I think. You begin to think about your future.
Writer Andy Hoffman.
And you begin to think, oh my God, I'm convicted and I'm facing life in prison. What can I do?
With few choices, Rash makes a stunning move and turns to prosecutor Paul Morrison, looking to make a deal. In exchange for a lighter sentence, she says she'll finally tell the truth of what happened that night her husband was brutally murdered.
Melinda Rash admits for the first time she took part in the murder of her husband, David Harmon. And she says she did it with Mark Mangelsdorf's help. It sounds like a big break for the prosecution, but it could be a bigger break for the defense.
I think it's going to be great fodder for the defense. She told a lie in 82. She told half-truths in 2001. She was convicted in 2005. And now, facing life in prison, she's going to come clean and tell the truth. Well, do you believe her?
How concerned are you about her testimony?
Well, I could put on a big act and say it's no big deal because she's lied before, but of course I'm concerned.
The usually confident Mickey Sherman knows this could be trouble.
I mean, this is someone who is obviously going to implicate him, and her credibility, her believability is going to make a great difference in whether or not Mark Mangelsdorf is going to be convicted or acquitted.
There we go.
The stakes are high. If convicted, Mangelsdorf, now a father of five, could spend the rest of his life in prison. In February 2006, appearing in court for a pretrial hearing, Mark Mangelsdorf shocks everyone with a statement of his own.
Mr. Mangelsdorf does plead guilty and agrees that he did participate in this crime.
After 24 years of maintaining his innocence, Mark Mangelsdorf now admits he helped kill his close friend, David Harmon.
I felt that it was time for me to plead guilty and to get this behind us.
By his side is his wife, Christina.
I love my husband, and he is the best husband and the best father that he can be, and we're going to be there for him.
During the summer of 1981, the two kissed for the first time in the family room of the duplex.
Pleading to second-degree murder, Mangelsdorf stands there while prosecutor Paul Morrison reads Melinda Rash's confession.
The week before the homicide, Mangelsdorf informed Melinda that he had purchased a weapon, specifically a crowbar, with which to murder David Harmon. He indicated that the time for the homicide was getting closer.
And in the confession, Melinda Rash related a chilling scene. At her husband's funeral, Mark Mangelsdorf whispered in Rash's ear he got rid of the murder weapon. Remarkably, for a couple who now admits they committed this brutal murder to have a relationship, it was the last time they were together.
She was ready to testify that during this relationship that she had with Mark Mangelsdorf, during their discussions of how they were going to end up together, her and Mark,
that for her it came down to the fact that she chose murder over the social stigma of divorce.
Bottom line is that she was just one of the factors which we all considered in deciding whether or not Mark should plead guilty. Mark finally made the call himself. He wanted to get on with his life. He saw the possibilities of conviction, saw the possibilities of acquittal, and elected to plead guilty.
All rise.
On May 12th, 2006, in two separate hearings, Mark Mangelsdorf and Melinda Rash are sentenced for the horrific murder of David Harmon.
I do not suggest that this punishment is equivalent to the crime itself. No punishment could be.
They are both sentenced to 10 to 20 years in prison.
To the Harmon family, words do not adequately express the things that kill in my heart. Just words are not enough. I'm horrified beyond words that I was ever connected to this. And I knew the minute it happened that it was wrong. For that, I'm very, very, very sorry.
I have pled guilty to this. I've acknowledged my involvement. I'm truly, truly sorry for David's death and for the loss of the time that you've experienced not being able to spend time with him.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
But for David's father, John, Melinda and Mark's apologies will never be enough.
Melinda, I hold you more responsible than Mark. You as a wife could have called a halt to the entire plot at any time.
Mark, you're not only a murderer, you're also a thief. You took our one and only child in a vicious, not just normal, a vicious attack and act of violence. You conned everybody while you were living a lie for over 20 years.
It took 24 years, but for this small town of Olathe, Kansas, the memory of a haunting murder can finally be laid to rest. And for David Harmon, a 24-year-old injustice has come to an end.
Melinda Rash served 9 years in prison and was released in 2015. Mark Mangelsdorf was released in 2016 after serving 10 years.